Continuing our studies in 2 Peter, here's what Peter continues to say in chapter 2, verse 10 about false teachers, the ones he was identifying for the purpose of equipping the saints he was writing to for discernment. Bold and willful, they do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones. Whereas angels, though greater in might and power, do not pronounce a blasphemous judgment against them before the Lord. But these, like irrational animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed, blaspheming about matters of which they are ignorant, will also be destroyed in their destruction, suffering wrong as the wage for their wrongdoing. They count it pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions while they feast with you. They have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. They entice unsteady souls. They have hearts trained in greed. Accursed children, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray. They have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved gain for wrongdoing, but was rebuked for his own transgression. A speechless donkey spoke with human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. These are waterless springs and mist driven by a storm. For them, the gloom of darkness has been reserved. For speaking loud boasts of folly, they entice by sensual passions of the flesh those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallowing in the mire. So we are continuing to study in 2 Peter chapter 2 some rather ugly realities. Ungodly men motivated by greed, leading people astray into destructive heresies, forsaking the right way, unrestrained in their participation in error. It is not pleasant to dwell on such matters, but it's for our good to be warned about the kind of false teachers and deceitful workers identified by the Holy Spirit through Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2. And one good result from this kind of study can be additional motivation to study and learn and fortify ourselves in the faith. Verse 11, whereas angels, though greater in might and power, do not pronounce a blasphemous judgment against them before the Lord. Pause here. Notice in verse 11, blasphemous judgment or reviling judgment. That's the act Peter is talking about in verse 11. In verse 11, he is not talking about legitimate rebuke, simple disapproval, or anything that is appropriate. The act under consideration in verse 11 is reviling judgment. If you have the New International Version, slanderous accusations. So these false teachers use this tactic. Part of their method was to accuse, to slander, to bring reviling judgment against people, even celestial beings. So this is about a total lack of respect, arrogance, rebellion, exercising no mature caution or discipline about what you say or who you insult. The point in verse 11 is angels with strength and power far beyond these kind of men do not act or speak this way. Again, the NIV, yet even angels, although they are stronger and more powerful, do not bring slanderous accusations against such beings in the presence of the Lord. False teachers of the type Peter describes are quick to issue slanderous accusations. Angels, in contrast, do not dare to say what these men impulsively say. Verse 12, Peter continues his description of these ungodly men, these false teachers. He says, like irrational animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed, blaspheming about matters of which they are ignorant, will also be destroyed in their destruction. Let me attempt to suggest this simple paraphrase. If you act like an animal, you can expect to be destroyed like an animal. I realize that does not sound politically correct. But in these Bible class videos, we are not concerned about being so politically correct that we avoid the truth. We want to be biblically correct. So listen to the verse again. New King James, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed, reviling where they have no knowledge, will, in the destruction of those creatures, also be destroyed. I think it is not missing the point at all to say, if you act like an animal, you can expect to be treated like an animal. In the middle of verse 12, notice what these ungodly false teachers do. They revile where they have no knowledge. Arrogant, speaking with great boldness, insulting, accusing. The truth is, they do not know what they're talking about. They have no knowledge, but they speak with great swelling power. Verse 13 in 2 Peter chapter 2. Suffering wrong as the wage for their wrongdoing, they count it pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions while they feast with you. These false teachers, condemned by God through Peter here in 2 Peter, were men who were devoted to their own pleasure. Stop here and consider the words that are used in the passage, whether you have the ESV, the New American Standard, the NIV, these words and phrases, sensuality, greed. Verse 10, the phrase, indulge the flesh in its corrupt desires and despise authority. They count it pleasure to revel in the daytime. These ungodly men were not only false teachers, they were false behaviors. They were devoted to their own pleasure. They indulged in the corrupt desires of the flesh, compared to animals in the previous verse. Verse 13 teaches, they counted a pleasure to revel in the daytime. We use the term party. Generally speaking, those who indulge in the corrupt fleshly desires reserve their carousing to the cover of darkness. But here is a lower level of shame. Count it pleasure to revel in the daytime. And they have followers. Many followed their sensuality. And Peter adds, they are blots and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions as they feast with you. Now, this kind of language conveys the darkest kind of shame and reproach, unrestrained indulgence. And you can also read about this over in the book of Jude. Verse 14, they have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. They entice unsteady souls. They have hearts trained in greed. And then Peter says, accursed children. Remember the context of this. False religious teachers who seek entry and influence into the minds and lives and thinking of Christians. Ungodly men driven by greed, secretly introducing destructive heresies. We are now well into motives. These men are party animals. Though they don't market themselves that way, they want to indulge their fleshly appetites. They have eyes full of adultery. This simply means they want what they see. Adultery is sexual immorality that violates a marriage bond. These men do not care about a marriage bond. What they care for is fulfilling their appetites, unable to look at women without seeing objects of lasciviousness. Some of the religious leaders and preachers of our time have duplicated the very sins described here. They entice unstable souls. As you read through and study 2 Peter 2, there are times when you wonder, how can men so devoted to their own desires attract anyone to their religious teaching? Here's the answer. They entice unstable souls. People who are morally and spiritually stable discern the error and sin immediately and turn away because they've already made a choice against this sort of thing through their commitment to truth. But unstable souls, however, are ready victims to this kind of false teaching combined with fleshly indulgence. The NIV says, experts in greed. Can you imagine someone putting this on their resume? I'm an expert in greed. And this bears out everything else Peter says about these men. Accursed children, children of cursing. Wickedness regenerated through the powerful influence of these men who seek an entry into the lives of Christians. Verse 15, forsaking the right way, they've gone astray. They followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved gain from wrongdoing. Much of what Peter says in 2 Peter 2 is illustrated by stories capturing the same kind of ugly behavior back in the Old Testament. We've already made reference to Sodom and Gomorrah, as well as sinners who were lost in the time of Noah. Now there's Balaam. Reference back to Numbers chapter 22. Balaam was a prophet who tried to misuse his prophetic gift in order to gain something for himself. King Balak of Moab enlisted Balaam's efforts and promised wealth, honor, and power. Balaam took the bait and attempted to curse the people of Israel. But of course, God didn't let that happen, And in the ensuing battle, the prophet Balaam was slain, falling in defeat with those who sought his aid. So Peter uses his story to illustrate loving the wages of unrighteousness, wanting something you shouldn't have, and seeking any means to gain the object of your desire. Twice in this passage, reference is made to the wages of sin. Back in verse 13, suffering wrong as the wages of wrongdoing. And here, loving the wages of unrighteousness. When you love and devote yourself to something wrong, it becomes your downfall. Verse 16, he received a rebuke for his own transgression, for a mute donkey, speaking with the voice of a man, restrain the madness of the prophet. In the English Standard Version, a speechless donkey. This is a striking irony, where you have a man who is so mad and wicked, he is restrained by a dumb donkey. May remind you of the movie Dumb and Dumber. Balaam loved the hire of wrongdoing, but was rebuked for that through that animal. Verse 17, these are waterless springs, these men Peter's talking about. Mist driven by a storm. For them, the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved. A spring without water. You go to a spring for nourishment and to be refreshed, but there's an absence of water. That's how Peter describes these ungodly men, mist driven by a storm. You look into the sky and you think you see a promise of rain. Only a mist quickly blows over the land and away. But these men, their ungodly behavior became destined to suffer in the blackness of darkness. Verse 18, speaking loud boast of folly, they entice by sensual passions of the flesh those who are barely expecting from those who live in error. These men propose to give religious instruction, but they speak out arrogant words of vanity. I see in these men who talk about themselves, who engage in boastful words and love to be at the center of attention. Peter says it is shameful. No spiritual good is accomplished. They are enticing by fleshly desires and sensuality. And notice those who barely escape from the ones who live in error. Sometimes people who are just coming out of one wrong are lured into another. False teachers gain followers among those who are not stable. Verse 19, they promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. This describes a slave promising freedom, but just taking people into bondage. A slave promising freedom, but taking people into bondage. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. Whatever the sin or error, if you live under its power, you become a slave to that sin or error, and therefore not in a position to lead people in any good sort of way. And then in verses 20 through 22, outcome. For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. for it would have been better for them to never have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, goes back to wallowing in the mire. So the message here is, don't go back to what you came from. If you came out of sin by obeying the gospel, don't let men who are sinful and who indulge in the flesh lead you back into what you came out of. You obeyed the holy commandment to come out of sin. Don't go back from that holy commandment, back from what you were converted from, into what you came out of. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallowing in the mire. Three lessons I want us to learn. Use the Word of God to build yourself up in the faith. Use the Word of God to build a strong, stable faith, and you'll not be subject to the fleshly temptations that are captured by the Holy Spirit through Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2. Number two, examine yourself. Don't just use this passage to poke it around toward others. Use this passage to examine yourself in the faith. Number three, we should keep our distance from people who live this way, except when we reach out with the truth of the gospel to try to recover them. 2 Peter chapter 2. Thank you for watching this video. Next time, we move into chapter 3. These are brought to you by the Laurel Heights Church of Christ, McAllen, Texas.